Psalm 139 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." God's everywhere. There's not a place that he is not. Theologians call that his omnipresence. He is everywhere. Amen? And we know that truth, and we tell ourselves that truth in the times that it feels like he's not there, right? So there is the everywhere presence of God. But there are also times where God shows up and it becomes very clear that he is present in that moment. You know what I'm talking about? You have those moments. I have those moments. They happen here sometimes, amen? Where it becomes very obvious that God is in the space. It can happen when you're by yourself and you're reading the scripture or you're worshiping. It can happen when you're driving down the road in your car and listening to worship or you're praying. And all of a sudden you become very, very aware that God is right there with you. Was he not there before? He was there. But all of a sudden in that moment, what was just omnipresent became manifested presence. Are you with me? There's everywhere, and then there's he shows up all of a sudden. Sometimes Heather and I can be in the house together doing our thing. She's doing her thing. I'm doing my thing. I might go out in the yard. She might go out in the front yard. We're present on the property. I know she's there. She knows I'm there. But there are other times that we draw close together, and I'm looking into her eyes, and she's looking into my eyes, and we're having conversation, and all of a sudden, we are manifest presence, amen? You know what I'm talking about? There's a time when you're just present, but there's other times when you are clearly in one another's presence. That's what God desires for us. It's not just to know some information that he's present, but to know and experience that he is present, that his presence shows up. And in that moment, I have a greater sense of awareness of his holiness, his love for me, peace and worship. And I'm just overwhelmed in that moment. The Bible describes lots of times like that that happen for people who love the Lord. Moses at the burning bush, parting of the Red Sea, Paul walking on the road and a bright and shining light shows up, blinds him. The Bible is filled with stories where God showed up in a moment, where it became very tangible, very aware that he was there. I came across a verse some time back and it stood out to me. And I just kind of tucked it away because I didn't know the significance of it at the time, but this series all of a sudden became very important. Make a note, I'm not showing this on screen today, but just make a note of Genesis 28:16. It's a moment from Jacob's life. It's the story of where he's sleeping, and then he has this dream about a ladder and angels descending back and forth on this ladder. And in that moment, Jacob wakes up, and it says that Jacob awoke from his sleep, and here's what he said. "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Sometimes God is more present than you are aware. And he shows up. And he was always there. But in that moment, he showed up and you became very well aware. He is here. Even when I did not realize it or notice it. The series from now until Easter is called Enter In. And we're going to talk about the path into God's presence and what happens there and how do we get there? Now, I think we would all recognize maybe perhaps the opposite. Maybe we all know what it's like whenever God's not present in a moment or we're not aware of his presence, we should say. You ever had those moments where all of a sudden anxiety just rips through your soul? Where racing thoughts are taking over, where temptation is greater than you can even handle, where dark thoughts take over. And all of a sudden in that moment, we have this sense, we think at least, that God is not present, whereas he is. But because we've not applied the truth and entered in, it feels as though he's gone in that that moment and life becomes dark. So in this series, we're gonna talk about how that happens. How do we enter into his presence? How do we experience that so that we know that he's present? For me, when those moments happen, I could think of some very specific things that happen. Tell me if this is not true for you. When there is this awareness that God is present in a moment, I all of a sudden get this sense that he's wrapping me up in his arms and loving me. We talked about that in staff this week. I think it was Jerry who said, it's like he's swaddling us. Wasn't that your word, Jerry? Yeah, swaddle, being swaddled by the love of God. Or maybe peace settles over us. Or maybe you get that answer to that thing you've been praying and asking God for. I can remember very specific times in my life where I was praying and seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden, I was conscious enough to try to enter his presence by faith, and all of a sudden, he spoke, and there was clarity. I knew all of a sudden what I was supposed to do next. Whew, I want some more of those moments. Are you with me? I want to know those tangible enter in moments. We've seen that happen here where God's presence just showed up. And it's not like he wasn't here before, but all of a sudden we became very aware of his presence, right? And healing happened in people's lives. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, some physically. Relationships began to be reconciled. Peace settled over people. And we were clearly aware that God was in this place. So as the first message in our series, Enter In, the title today is this: the glory of God's manifest presence. Now, I believe what's ahead for us is a new day here at Vertical. I'm not looking to ever just do business as usual. I don't want one Sunday to be like last Sunday. I want us to draw closer to the Lord every time we gather together. And so we're moving forward into a new space. So buckle up, buttercup. We're moving forward, right? Amen? And there's going to be some parts of this series that are going to challenge you. And you're going to have to apply your faith. You're going to have to get into the spiritual gym. We're here to work out. Amen? I'm not here to just keep doing the same old thing, blah through another Sunday, and, well, I did the church thing. No, that's not what we're here for. We're here to draw close to the Lord, soak in his presence, be aware of his power in our lives, and be changed by all of that. Amen? That's where we're headed today. And so even as we start thinking about gathering and experiencing the presence of the Lord, I know from Scripture there are times that it happened for individuals, right? We know, again, Moses at the burning bush, Abram standing there and looking up into the sky and God giving him a vision with the stars. There were moments that were personal, but every personal moment was only an appetizer for a bigger group moment. Amen? Now, I'm going to use the word corporate this morning. I'm not talking about big business, okay? When I say corporate, I'm talking about the body gathered together, okay? A corporate assembly of people. And so whether we're in the Old Testament talking about the Hebrews gathered together or the Church of Jesus Christ today, us gathered together, this is a corporate environment, okay? So when I say corporate, don't think Google, okay? You with me? Are you with me? I'm talking about us gathered. It's a word that we use to describe a group gathered. So in the Bible, when it talks about God showing up and his presence being manifest, there are times that it happened personally for people, but there are times that it happened corporately for people. Watch this. Anytime it happened personally, it was meant to be an appetizer for the corporates. Every time he showed up to one person, it was meant to be translated over into a group of people so that they all experienced that together. Amen. So what we're doing here this morning is we are corporately gathered and God wants to manifest his presence here in our midst. And it will be different than what he does when you are by yourself. It's not any less necessarily when you're by yourself. It's just very different. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in their midst. Does that mean he was not there when they were personal by themselves? No, he was there. But when he's together with a group of people who are recognizing his name, his manifest is different than when it's personal. Are you with me? All right. Now, I'm afraid there's some things that have happened in recent years that have affected how we gather corporately. I'm afraid that through the COVID era, some things happened. We all got this personal thing going on, and we found it difficult to be in the corporate thing. Now, we all got back together pretty quick here at Vertical, amen? But I think it affected all of us in some way. I think even when it comes to government, big business, big pharma, all the big that's out there, we all get a little skeptical of big, right? And that has an effect on us. It makes us want to draw in and just be personal and not be so much corporate. But you and I have to break past all of that, because when we were born into Jesus Christ, you were born into a body that is corporate. Are you with me? We can't keep to ourselves and be the church of Jesus Christ. The church of Jesus Christ is a corporate experience, a gathered experience, and God wants to show up and manifest his presence to us. We see this throughout scripture, and in this series, we're going to see this in one place in particular, in the construction of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. It's the first big gathering instructions that God gives to his people. And he gives them a description, he gives Moses a blueprint of how to build a place so that when the people of God are gathered, they experience his manifest presence. And it's going to serve as a blueprint for us so that you personally and us corporately experience the manifest presence of God here in this place. How many want that? I do. I'm not here to play games. I'm not here to keep going through the motions. If the presence of God doesn't show up here in some tangible way, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in going through all of that. So when God speaks to Moses in Exodus 25, he says this, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Now, how good and gracious of God to say, I want to dwell among them. I want to show up with them. And Moses, I want you to build a place so that I can dwell there. Not as though God needs a place to have to dwell, but the fact that he would choose to want to dwell with us, with man, with sinners, is just a pure act of grace. And so throughout the remainder of Exodus, we find the instructions given for the tabernacle. All the way from 26 through the remainder of the chapter, you find this interesting facility built. We'll do a little drawing here today, see if we can't help capture part of what was happening. Now, the tabernacle is a very interesting building. It was really more like a tent that they traveled with. And God gave very clear instructions on the length and the width and how it was to be built and where it was to be in the midst of all of their existence as a people. And so as they traveled to the promised land, God had this tent, and his intent with the tent was to be in the tent. Are you with me? Yeah? And so he gave the instructions, and this tent from the outside, as we'll see in the series, didn't really look like much. It just looked like a brown, burlappy looking building. But inside were powerful riches, and inside was the great glory and presence of God. Once it was completed according to God's design, there was an altar as they entered into this fenced area where the sacrifices were made. There was a laver, a place where they washed, and the priests would be cleansed before they entered in. And here was this very interesting design given by God. And it was to be in the midst of the people corporately. When they traveled, there was even very specific design given by God for the 12 tribes of how they were to camp. Some to the north, some the west, some to the east, and some to the south. And the layout just had this very interesting pattern of a cross. Because here, in the very center of the people of God, and this scale here does not represent the millions of people that would have been camped around this with their own tents, with their own families, with their own existence and their own lives. Yet here in the middle of it all was God's manifest presence. And he wanted them to know this. Now, over the weeks ahead, we're going to get into the details of this fence and why it was white and why there was a gate and what was on the gate. And we're going to get into the altar of sacrifice. We're going to get into the laver. We're going to get into what was inside here, because inside here was the holy place. And even inside that was another part called the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the high priest would enter in. Only the priest could enter into this part, but only the high priest could enter into the final Holy of Holies to offer a sacrifice to God for the sins of the people. Ooh, it's so rich in meaning. And every part speaks to us today. And every part was intended for us to be able to grasp the presence of God, not just in knowing he is with us, but the manifest presence of God among them. Now, I want to zero in on some intention of God here today in kind of this big picture view. Because when God gave the design for this, the blueprint for this, he said, this is the way to enter my presence. And some words here that are important for us today. One of the words is holy. Because God is a holy God. And he had a very defined way that you could enter into the tabernacle area. Now, the people could enter in. In fact, they needed to enter in to bring a sacrifice for their sin that was offered up here. But the way you had to come in was through the gate. And you had to come in the way God said it. You didn't just get to do what you wanted. You had to come in his way, because his way is holy. He has a very specific path. I know sometimes we'll say things like, well, the Lord says, come as you are. Watch this. That's nowhere in the Bible. There's nothing that says, come as you are. There is repent and turn from your sins and come to the Lord. If you're going to come to the Lord, you don't get to just come in like you want. If you're going to come to the Lord, you don't get to come in with just all your own opinions and your ideas and say, well, I'll worship God however I want to, because I think God is really, I think he's a rainbow. I think he's a unicorn. I think he's just a fluffy angel that floats in heaven. Well, I'm sorry. If you've got a wrong belief, you're not going to experience the true and living God, because there's only one way to him, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to enter in. There's only one way you can enter into this place, because this path was holy. And if you want to enter into the presence of God, you had to enter in through the holy path. You also had to come with a sacrifice, is our other word here. You didn't get to just come in like you wanted. You had to come in and bring the appropriate sacrifice to be offered up here on this altar. You didn't get to just bring in some craft you made the last week. You had to bring what God said to bring. You had to bring a lamb, an ox, a bull, and it had to be according to God's design, because what was needed was a sacrifice for your sin, not a celebration of your sin. You don't get to come in and celebrate your sin. You get to come in and repent of your sin and ask for forgiveness for your sin by bringing a sacrifice. And they had to do that. It's a holy path. It's a path that requires sacrifice. But it was also important that it was intentional. You didn't get to just stand back and say, well, I think that would be a good idea. No, if you want to experience the forgiveness of your sin, you had to be intentional and enter into that place. You couldn't just stand on the outside and say, wow, that is really nice. That's a good idea. Probably should do that. Not going to, but nice. Glad those other people enjoy it. Not me, though. If you just were an intentional spectator and not an intentional participation person, you didn't get anything. You weren't called to spectate. You were called to engage. You were called to actually enter into this space, bring a sacrifice for your sin, for the awareness of what you have done that has separated you from God. You had to enter in. You had to bring a sacrifice, and you had to do it. No one could do it for you. You had to bring it. But another word that's important is the word anticipation. Because you had to enter with the faith and the expectation that God was going to keep his promises, that he was going to truly forgive you. You weren't to bring your sacrifice in and offer it up with your own repentance and say, well, hope that worked. Off to my own stuff now. No, you had to come in by faith with the anticipation, the Lord is in this place and the Lord has described the way to him. And I brought my sacrifice just as he described and I have done it. And now I have the anticipation that he will show up and he will forgive my sin. Now, what I love is that the Bible says that God gave Moses the blueprint for this. And the Bible describes every step of it. I mean, every piece, from the material to the dimensions, to the posts, to the rings that were used to hold up the material. Every piece of this was defined by God. And it was to be followed. It was to be kept. You couldn't just make it your own way. And the Bible tells us that as soon as Moses completed it, just as God had said, that the glory of the Lord showed up in that place. I mean, they had known he was present, but now all of a sudden, his presence was manifested. And the Bible says it manifested with a great cloud that was above the tabernacle. And it came and it dwelt there. And as soon as it was completed, Moses saw this happening. And Moses was so stunned by it all. They didn't even know how to respond. It says in Exodus 34, the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It went from just being omnipresent to being manifest present. Are you with me? He showed up. He showed up in a different way. In fact, from that point forward, this cloud would guide them and lead them toward the promised land. And they knew if they got up one day and the cloud was gone, they would look like, where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Pack it up, everybody. We're headed that way. Wherever the glory was, they followed it. And they packed everything up and they moved to follow the glory. This was God's design. He wanted them to experience and know his manifest presence in their life. And I read all of that and I just, there's a hunger in me because I want that. Amen? I want to see that. I want to know that when we gather as God's people, when we are gathered around the presence of Jesus. In fact, what's so beautiful is this whole thing is a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of him and his body sacrificed for us. The sacrifice for sin here is a picture of Jesus. The laver here of water washing us is a picture of Jesus. Entering into the holy place and the holy of holies is what Jesus did in heaven. He entered into the holy of holies to offer his blood up as a sacrifice for our sins so that we might be forgiven. Amen? All of it is a picture of Jesus. And Jesus himself was a house of presence. Amen? The Bible says that in John that the word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Now you have to read the Tree of Life version to get that word there. If you are reading New King James NIV, you're probably going to see the word became flesh and dwelt among us. But it's from the Aramaic term that means tabernacle, dwelt among us. Same word tabernacle here. And so Jesus is the one who tabernacles among us. He becomes the Holy One who offers himself as a sacrifice, who has the intention of offering up himself for us with the anticipation that we might all be saved. Amen? Through him. Are you with me so far? It's a fascinating picture. I love all of it. And what Jesus did was fulfill every piece of this. But Jesus came for something else. Jesus came so that you and I might know how to enter in. He came to obey the Father, but he came so that you and me could enter in personally into the very throne room of God, and so that when we gather as God's people, we could corporately experience his manifest presence. So how in the world does that happen? The Bible tells us in the New Testament that the church is now the house of his presence. I know that the New Testament says that you have become the temple of God and I have become the temple of God. Amen? The temple of the Holy Spirit is now you. There's no more tabernacle. There's no more temple. God doesn't live somewhere on this property in a room that we keep him secluded away into. When we gather, he is with us and in us. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is all the more motivation to live holy because we are a Holy Spirit temple. Amen? I want to take care of my temple because the Spirit is living in this temple. Amen? But remember, whenever there's a personal experience, it's meant to lead to a corporate experience. And so if I have his Spirit personally living in me, it's not just a toy that I get to keep up with and play with on my own at home when I'm by myself. It's so that you and I, when we gather together, we each bring the Spirit of God into a place and there is multiplied presence of God in the place when we are gathered. Are you with me? I want to make sure I'm not... I've been at this for a little while studying all this stuff. So I got a water hose going here. I mean, a fire hydrant going. You tell me if you need to slow down or something, okay? Because we're just going. Are you with me? So here's what the Bible says about us as the church in the New Testament. Peter writes and says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Woo, Peter, that is a lot you just said in one sentence. Let's break it down. You, me, follower of Jesus Christ, you are a living stone. You have been made a stone that fits into the building of God. And you're not just cold, dead, and lifeless. You are a stone that's living and breathing and alive, pulsing with the Spirit of God. And you are part of something much bigger. You're not a rock left out in the forest by yourself. You're part of a living, breathing building, God says, that has living stones in it. And so when we gather together, the building is coming together. Amen? That's why it's important when we gather together that we're not just isolated and silent and disconnected, because we're living stones who are connected to one another, and I need you and you need me in this body. Amen? Living stones you are. And he is building us up as a spiritual house. This was a spiritual house because the glory of God dwelt in it. You and I, when we gather, are a spiritual house. The Spirit of God is here when we gather here. And it's different than when you're by yourself. Bigger things happen. Greater things happen when the body is gathered together. That's why you and I must be corporately engaged. It's tempting to want to gather here and spectate here. It's tempting to want to just... It's tempting to want to come in late and not have to talk to anybody. It's tempting to want to not have to engage with anybody. It's tempting to want to get up early and leave and not talk to anybody. But if you're a living stone in the body that's being built up together, then we're required to participate together. Amen? We're part of the living body building with the Spirit of God in it. And I can't let my role as a stone just be some silent stone. I got to be a rock and I got to roll. Come on now. I got to get after it. I'm being built up, connected to you, connected to me. We're a holy priesthood, the verse says. We already know what this means. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. I got to roll, you got to roll. Our role is this. Do whatever pleases the Lord. That's what a priest does. Minister to the Lord and then minister to the people. That's what a priest does. And he says, here's what our role is in this house. Offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, did anybody come today bringing a lamb to pay for your sin? I didn't see it or hear it if you did. Because that's not what we do today. Because the sacrifice has already been made, amen? A lamb has already been slain for us. I don't bring a lamb today because I've had a lamb been slain for me already. And look here, I'm not bringing anything else here to pay for my sin either. I hope you didn't come here today bringing your good deeds from this past week expecting to pay off your sin today. Your good deeds will never pay off your sin that you've committed this past week. The only thing that's going to pay for your sin you've committed this past week is the blood of Jesus Christ and your acceptance of that in your own life. So what is the sacrifice we bring today? What is the sacrifice? Am I supposed to bring some money? Am I supposed to bring some hard work? Am I supposed to bring a promise I'll never do it again? Am I supposed to bring my service? Am I supposed to beat myself up? Am I supposed to crucify myself? Am I supposed to make myself feel terrible for what I've done? No. The sacrifice that you and I bring today is the sacrifice of our mouth that says, thank you, God. That's what we do today. That's the spiritual sacrifice. And the more stones in the body, in the building, that are offering that up, I promise you, the more tangible the presence will be of God that shows up. But if stones show up silent, if stones show up disconnected, if stones show up not wanting to say anything, not wanting to do anything, do you think the presence of God is going to be tangibly seen in that place? No! Man, there were some people who thought they could enter this building their own way. There was a priest who had two sons, and they thought they would do it their way. And they offered up what the Bible calls a strange fire. Nadab and Abihu, pastor's kids. And they thought, we don't have to keep all that stuff. That's silly. We bring up what we want. We got some women on the side that we meet with every once in a while behind the tabernacle. We can offer up whatever we want. And they brought their own fire in, and God said, you're going to bring that stuff in my house? I will not be mocked. And they died. You don't get to come in like you want. You don't get to come in doing your thing. You don't get to come as you are. You get to come and repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ is what you get to do. Amen? That's what we do. And when we do that, we make it our goal to say, God, you are holy. The only hope I have is by laying myself out before you And he says, my son, if you'll repent of your sins and turn from me, you will see that I have taken your sin and placed it on my son. And I've taken his righteousness and I've placed it on you. Thank you, God. I can enter in. But I have to come your way, God, through the door. By a sacrifice. By the sacrifice of Jesus. And now, by the sacrifice of my praise. By the giving of my worship to you. That kind of sacrifice is pleasing to God. And I come with intentionality. I come me doing it. Not my mom for me, my dad for me, my sister for me, my friend for me. I come and I intentionally enter in. I leave behind my pride. I leave behind my arrogance. I leave behind my selfishness. I leave behind everything it's me. And I bring only my heart to you to ask you to cleanse me and make me new. And I come with the anticipation that you're going to show up, that you're going to do something. You're going to heal. You're going to change. You're going to transform me. You're going to speak to me. You're going to show up because you've promised you would if we would come the way you said. I hate to almost use a trite saying from a movie, but it's true. If we will build it, he will come. If we will be living stones, each of us alive, each of us bringing our sacrifice of praise, each of us offering up spiritual sacrifices to God, the tangible, manifest presence of God will show up in a place and change will happen. People who have needed answers will find answers. People who have needed healing will experience healing. And I'm not just talking physical, because listen to me, spiritual healing is far more profitable than your physical healing. Sometimes we get physical ailments so that we can get a spiritual healing. And that's always more important. But if we will do the work, build the house, he's promised he'll show up. Are you hungry for that? You long for that? I do too. And I'm confident this next series that we're in is going to stretch us. You're going to feel tempted to go back in your old ways of spectating, not participating, thinking, oh, this stuff's not for me. I hadn't had a good week. Look, ain't nobody in the room had a perfect week. Amen? I'm not here because I have a good week. I don't stay home because I had a bad week. I come here because Jesus is Lord of my week. And he's strong in my weakness. So I come to confess that here. So let's be a spiritual house. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray. And I want us just to be very aware that the Lord is in this place. And let's be living stones. Let's offer up spiritual sacrifices. And let's have anticipation that the Lord will show up. Father, thank you for being so good to us when we were in the wilderness without a place and without your presence. Just like for Moses, you provided a tabernacle, you've provided your son Jesus for us today so that we can know your presence in a very tangible and real way. God, forgive us for just being spectators. Forgive us for just watching when we ought to be engaged. Forgive us for not bringing the sacrifice of praise from our lips, but thinking somehow we could never do that. thank you for what you've done through Jesus, freeing our hearts, freeing us from our sin. What should we do but open our mouth now to worship you because of that? May we live in that. May we express that. May our hearts be filled with joy for what you've done for us. And may we be a spiritual house. May we know one another's hearts. May we be the living stones that sing, that speak, that proclaim your glory, that are built together so that your spirit will show up here, so that we'll know your presence, so that lives can be changed here in this place, and that people can come from without, outside, who are desperate, who are hurting, who are lost. May they come in and know the Spirit of God is in this place. May they sense it and know it. May your tangible, manifest presence show up in this place, God, and change us. Oh, God, we want to see you move.